Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like you.
Well, hello there. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. As creative professionals and entrepreneurs, it can be easy to get into unhealthy habits of doing everything ourselves. With modern systems and software, we can do it all. I know this to be true for myself because I have spent 12 years in this world of self. But lately, I've been slowly realizing that it's time to build my team. In this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to share how you can move from an individual mindset to a team mentality. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/189. I've been on my own as a solo business owner for a long time. About 12 years now, going on 13, and some days it feels like an absolute eternity because I do everything myself. I have a really challenging time delegating, casting vision to other people, and really bringing people into the things that I'm doing. But what's interesting is, even though I'm a solopreneur, someone that's working for myself, you can call me a freelancer, you can call me a contractor, a consultant, a solopreneur, all these terms that we use to describe ourselves, even though I am that, I still have a team of people that enable me to do the work I do. It's my network, my encouragers, my believers, my friends, my family. This is just one circle of my team. And I haven't really thought about it that way, but lately I've been really learning a lot about myself and getting a healthy dose of life lessons. And it's really got me thinking a lot about teamwork and how to consider a business that is bigger than myself and my own needs. One toxic viewpoint that I have heard many times over the years is that if you are a team of one, you're not a real business owner. I don't know if people mean to say it like that, but it hurts because whether you are in business for yourself or have a large team and a large payroll that you are responsible for, know that either way you are a business owner because you are working to pay bills. You are working to create value. Sure, the scale may be different, but never ever let anyone take that away from you. Never let anyone say that you are not a business owner if you have chosen to go out on your own, even if it's just yourself. And the reason why is because I did. I let those words hurt me time and time again, and it hurts. Because when you let someone tell you that you're not a business owner, you stay in your shell, you stay locked into your head, and you don't let anyone else in. And it can hurt you in the long term. Another thing I did was let my arrogance get in the way of thinking that I didn't need anyone. I'm not going to give you a full history of my working experience, but I came out of a job in 2005, and I was pretty cocky and arrogant. I thought I knew it all. I mean, let's see, 2005, 13 years ago, I was in my early 20s. So, you know, who else in their early 20s thought they knew it all? You know, I thought I knew it all, but just like that Megadeth song. But anyway, but what's interesting is like that arrogance stuck around for a very long time. And there's still some there. There's still some arrogance deep inside that makes me put up walls to protect myself so that I don't get hurt by people. And in return, I look like an ass because it looks like I have all the answers and perhaps I don't want anyone else to take the credit. This individual life is very interesting. It's okay if this is where you want to stay because maybe you don't have the arrogance problem like I had and have. Maybe you are perfectly fine with the scale of work that you're doing and that's okay. But last year I was tired. I didn't know what else to do, so I quit. I went down the road of joining other teams. In the past year, I have joined four teams, quit one, and I wonder about where I fit in with the rest. Funny thing about all this is that in the back of my mind, a still small voice has revealed itself to me. Maybe it's time to build your own team. That's a thought I've never considered, because I have tremendous fear about working with other people. Even though I enjoy listening and working with others in some capacities, a lot of my fears reveal themselves when it comes to thinking about building my own team. I fear that I'll make enough money, because sometimes it's hard enough to pay my own bills, let alone throwing someone else's well-being and livelihood into the mix. But an interesting counter to that is perhaps that's what I would need. Perhaps that's what I need in order to really own the value that I know my work creates, learn how to negotiate, and stop waiting to be the leader I was born to be. I'm flashing back to Return of the King, where Aragorn needs to become who he was born to be. But Lord of the Rings aside, I also have this fear of quality. If I bring someone else in, will it be good enough? But the counter to that one is, can my ego handle it if the work is better than what I can do? Boy, that's a hard question. Especially for someone that can be arrogant, maybe some narcissism. But that question has to be asked. Another fear is the fear of, what if I let my team down? What if I fail and I have to let them go? But the better question is, how will I respond when I do let them down? I have never really fit into other teams and organizations, and it always made me think that the problem was me. That I'm destined to be alone and keep doing what I'm doing, even though sometimes I'm just full of doubt and exhaustion. But that fear is countered with the reality that I just need to find the people who fit into what I want to do. There are so many fears, and it's no wonder that I haven't done anything about it and that I've just been searching for other teams to join instead of owning who I want to be and what I want to do. And yet, here it is in the back of my mind, in the pit of my stomach, in the depth of my heart. All of these things are uniting to say it's time to build your team and overcome past experiences so that you can grow in unbelievable new ways. So in this episode of Getting Work to Work, I want to share 6 ways to expand individual thinking into a team mentality. First, dream beyond your abilities. Dream beyond your abilities. Imagine something so far beyond what you're able to do that it's going to require courage, expanded vision, and hope. With those 3 requirements, that's going to force you out of yourself and into the company of others. I have kept my dreams so small because I know I can handle them. I know I can tackle them. But as I start thinking about something bigger, I'm scared. And I don't quite know how to start. And all of this requires courage, vision, and hope. And that's the best starting point that I could think of. Second, invite people to participate in your vision, no matter the scope or scale of what they can do. It makes me think of this idea that always be building a team. Always think that what you're doing is worthy of the time and input of others, not in an arrogant sense, but in a way to bring something to others into the world, to think that, you know, to not belittle what you're doing because maybe someone really values the work that you're doing and would be honored if you invited them. We don't know. We can't always expect other people to step up and say, hey, I want to be a part of this. Invitation is an amazing gift to other people. Now, this idea of scope or scale, people on a team don't always need to be an employee. Maybe you can contract them to do tasks that you don't want to do. Maybe it encourages someone to do other tasks of that same type with other people and it creates a living for them. All these things are good things to consider and something for you to really think about when you're developing that team mentality. Third, seek people who are independent thinkers with audacious goals and build an idea meritocracy. Now, that one is not my own thought. That's straight out of Ray Dalio's book, Principles. And he defines an idea meritocracy as radical truth plus radical transparency plus believability minus weighted decision making. I'm not going to go into each of those. I highly encourage you to check out Principles because this book has been instrumental in really instilling that small voice in the back of my mind saying, there is a better way, Chris. There's something that you haven't considered, and it's time to consider it. Now, the interesting thing about independent thinkers with audacious goals is that not only do you have to pursue them, but I think that means that you yourself must be an independent thinker with audacious goals as well, so that like minds attract like minds. There is an interesting quote where Dalio talks about the difference between a great culture and a cult, and that the difference is independent thinking. And I just thought that was really interesting. So seek people who are independent thinkers, but also be one yourself so that you can challenge one another. Fourth, beware the collaboration trap. As an independent thinker, I need to go through my own process and routines in order to get a handle on what the possibilities are of what I'm doing. And what I've noticed is that sometimes when I'm on teams, there's a push to get into collaboration way too soon, maybe as a way to distribute credit amongst the team members, or perhaps to avoid decision-making or ownership. Now, brainstorming is important, but I'm not talking about brainstorming. I'm talking about this desire to get people together to start working, even before ideas are formed. And I think that's like seeking answers before you even know what the right questions are to ask. So beware that trap. There's more that I could say about the collaboration trap, but at the same time, I think that's enough said, because when it comes to independent thinking, let the thinkers be independent and then come together and see what you can do with all of that independent thinking. Fifth, use team as a multiplying factor, not simply trying to recreate what one person can do with a bunch of people sitting around talking. There's a story about if you put a team of monkeys typing on typewriters long enough that eventually, given enough time, they would be able to recreate Shakespeare. Sometimes I think that's how people view team. You put enough people together in a room, and eventually they'll generate something that one person of genius or of independent thinking or of audacious goals could accomplish. But if a group of people generate the same amount in collaboration as one person with passion can, I think that is a tremendous disrespectful waste of not only that individual's efforts, but the entire group's time and energy. Instead, I really think that letting the individual drive momentum and have their work multiplied by the individual effort and passion of everyone on that team is what multiplication means. This is a totally untested thought, though, for me. I'm not sure of any of that, but I'm pretty sure that this idea of multiplication, I think there's something important here that I hope to one day test. And I think without it, it's part of a collaboration trap. You're just going to sit there and seek answers without knowing the right questions to ask. Individual people can ask amazing questions if you let them. Sixth and finally, and this one is probably the one that impacts me the most, and maybe it might impact you as well, but don't run away from being a leader. You need to embrace it, you need to study it, but ultimately you need to be yourself. I've been running away from being a leader for so long. I have wanted other people to tell me who I am, what I should do, and it's never good enough. What they have to say is never good enough for me, and it's always wrong. It's always against who I am, and it's no fault of them. it's all my fault because I've been running from the responsibility of being a leader and helping other people and really growing into something, somebody that is not important, but is someone that can help other people. And for being a leader in today's world, we need more and more leaders, men, women. We need people to be able to be of good character and have something to offer the world, something of value, something of longevity. And without that, it's just going to be a never-ending constant battle of temporary pursuits and meaninglessness. So just do not run away from being a leader. It is a hard calling, but it is necessary in today's world. Hopefully this episode has really helped you to consider not just the individual, but the team. By no means do I want anyone that is an individual business owner to feel guilted into thinking that they need to build a team if they are content with where they are. I'm merely sharing with where I am because I've been avoiding building a team for a very long time. And I really do think that by sharing this openness with you, I hope that it's going to encourage me, but also help you to consider the possibilities of dreaming beyond your abilities. That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It means a lot to me that you do. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice or just want someone to say hi to. Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm Chris at chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at CM Studios. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.